You have tuned in to the e-commerce happy hour. My name is TJ Gamble. I'll be your host for this afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you happen to be. We have a great conversation going today. I wanted to talk a little bit more about a conversation I picked up on Twitter. There was a great discourse, and Twitter's not the greatest place to have these debates. So let's talk about it here where we can go maybe a little more in depth and provide some value on the topic. So we wanted to talk about getting merchants more involved in Magento events or the Magento community in general. And it's, you know, there's a lot of Magento events out there, and there are obvious reasons why you want merchants at those events, and we'll discuss that. So I did the most logical thing I could possibly do, and I reached out to some merchants and said, hey, why don't you come on, provide some value on this topic? And none of them gave a damn about it whatsoever. So I did the next best thing I could do. I got people that either work with merchants, organize events, or are developers for merchants, because, you know, the tech people are more interested in Magento than actual merchants are at this point. So that's a great point to start this conversation. Again, if you're new around here, please don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Give us a thumbs up on the video. Those things always help out. And so my guest today, I've got a full slate of guests. This is about as many guests as we are actually set up to handle. And so On my dial here, we didn't put them in any particular order. So this is not in order of importance. I don't want to offend any of my guests. But we've got David Seidepner, Cyberware, used to work for a merchant. David, why don't you introduce yourself? Give us the elevator pitch on your business.
Okay. Well, my business is Cyberware, and we do e-commerce ad management. So we do a lot of digital advertising for Magento merchants. Before that, I worked for 9 years at ClearBags, which is a multi-million dollar Magento merchant. One of the first we launched in like 2009.
Great. And next on my dial here is Brent Peterson of Wagento. I'm having a small technical issue, so I'm going to get up and fix that technical issue real quick while Brent gives us the elevator pitch on Wagento.
Hi, my name is Brent Peterson. I'm with Wagento, and we are a Magento solution partner. We provide Magento commerce solutions and order management solutions in the United States and Latin America. And I'm a Magento master, if that means anything.
I don't know. Let's not get to titles here. Don't be bragging on the live stream, Brent. That's great. That's great. Definitely worth noting when we have a Magento master. And I'm trying to remember, we've had a few Magento masters. I can't remember all of them, but there's not too many of them out there. So it's always great when we get one on the stream. Adam, if you would, Adam, give us Adam Randazzo with Great Lakes, formerly Great Lakes Orthodontics, is now Great Lakes Dental Technology. Is that right? Give us the rundown on your role there in your business.
Sounds good. Yeah, TJ. So my name is Adam Randazzo. Work for a company called Great Lakes Dental Technologies. We're a 50-year-old dental company. We supply services, parts, equipment to orthodontists, general dentists. Before that, I worked for an agency doing a lot of e-commerce development. This is going back a little bit when Magento was in the 1.4, 1.5 days. So kind of did the hop from working for an agency to, actually working for a merchant. So
like I said, this is as close as we could get to having actual merchants on the stream. Merchants don't, in my opinion, the non-technical employees or owners of merchants or e-commerce businesses don't seem to care or to be as loyal to the e-commerce platform as technical resources that work on that platform, which is, reflected in who was interested in actually coming on and having this conversation. That's probably as good a place as any to start? And I kind of wanted to get your opinions on maybe why that is. Can we come up with some theories as to why it seems that technical resources are more interested in the platform itself than the actual people who ultimately benefit from that platform's implementation? Any guesses here? Anybody want to jump on that?
Yeah, I'll jump on that.
Certainly. Okay. Everybody, let's all talk at once.
Let's start with, I heard David first. Let's go with David there.
All right. So, well, I mean, obviously, Magento is a tool to get a job done. And for a merchant, you're really trying to... You're trying to generate some profit. You're trying to generate profitable growth for your company. And a lot of people just look at an e-commerce platform as a glorified self-checkout register at a Walmart. It's what lets the customer go into your store, select what they want to buy, check themselves out so you don't do anything. It's just an automated system for that. That is what an e-commerce platform is in a whole lot of aspects. So we like to talk about it being a lot more than that, but it's not necessarily the case. And if people have had problems with Magento or some issues in implementation, different things over time, they're likely to be flirting with other options and always thinking about the fact that they could be using something else if this doesn't work out. So I think there's just a practical reality there.
All right, Brent, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I definitely agree with David there that it's really more just a tool to get a job done. If you were digging ditches for a living, what would be your affection to the shovel, right? Any different point of view on that?
I mean, first off, I really love my shovel. And, I guess being from Minnesota, we do dig a lot of ditches, so... No, I think that merchants honestly probably, well, I don't think merchants really care about what's underneath the platform. So, you know, a good example would be from a car, like not everybody cares how their car gets assembled and where it gets assembled and all those other things that go along with it. So I think a lot of merchants, what they care about is how well it works and how well it performs. That's what the top end of the merchants care about. And maybe even from as you come down on the ownership or the leadership of that merchant, they're more looking at the their staff to make sure this performs. And honestly, then as we get down into the organization, there should be more interest in what can they learn from the platform from a conference? How can they make that platform get better? How can they find things that are new in the industry? That would be something that as an owner of a business, I would think that I would be interested in as a merchant. But I think most merchants would look to their agency or solution provider to give them most of that knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And Adam, anything to add to that? Thought, you know, like why are maybe merchants not as passionate as developers are about the platform or any platform in general? I don't think this is a Magento problem. I think it's just, you know, any platform. Why are merchants maybe not as involved and active?
Yeah, I'm really going to agree with what Brent said here. And what Dave also said is that, you know, the platform really is a means to an end. You know, it's really, you know, kind of like, you know, David said, you know, we're trying to sell stuff. We need to make a profit. You know, the one thing I wanted to touch on, though, is that, you know, for us at Great Lakes, you know, we need to pivot pretty quickly. And, you know, maybe not as quickly as a lot of tech businesses that, you know, a lot of us are used to, but, you know, we get some crazy new product line in and it has, you know, different requirements for selling online, different ways we have to, you know, handle the products. So for us, having a platform that allows us to pivot, expand, and change with minimum frustration is really important to us. You know, not to say you couldn't do that on other platforms, but, you know, Magento's been good for that.
So as far as an event organizer, Brent, and you touched on this a little bit in your response to that initial question, from an event organizer's perspective, how important is it, and maybe why is it important to have merchants speak or show up, attend, you know, be involved in a conference?
I think from the merchant point of view, it's extremely important that we get the feedback and we hear what merchants are saying. So finding the merchants that are interested and then giving them the vehicle in which they can come and speak and feel comfortable speaking is very important. It's important to both developers so they understand what the merchant wants. And it's always good for the merchant to hear the perspective from a developer standpoint. And I think that the other thing that's often overmissed in this between the merchant and the developer is there's a whole staff in a Magento organization, or let's just back up. There's a whole staff in an agency that makes a website work. So as an agency, there's a developer, but then there's project management, there's business analysts, there's solution specialists. There's a whole group of people that the merchants would interact with and the going back and forth that I think is very important. But having the merchant understand and then hear firsthand what some of those things are that they could be doing, and then listening and speaking to agencies, developers, project managers, even partners or technology partners. So every conference would include a number of partners that would do shipping or payments or taxes. All those things put together make a great conference. But I think depending on the type of conference, and we do Mage Titans. Mage Titans is a developer-oriented conference. There is pieces that are missing. So just to reiterate, I feel it's very important that the merchant is there and they're heard.
Yeah,
and then how do you get them there? It's more difficult.
Yeah, that'll be a different question we get to in a little bit here. You know, the optimist says we need the feedback from the merchant, and we want to learn from them and to hear, you know, the problems they're having and the things they're doing with the platform, and you know, what are they having success with, what are they struggling with, and how can we make the platform or our services better suited for their needs. That's the optimist. The pessimist is going to say, well, you just want them there so you can sell them some crap to get sponsors. That's what the pessimist is going to say. David, if and you had kind of made some points and alluded to that in the document that we, you know, kind of have some discussions in before we go on this live stream. So how do we combat that negative perception of, I don't want to go to this conference because I'm just going to be sold to, there's some actual value to be gained from it? How do we maybe convey that message a little better? Do you have any thoughts around that?
I actually think that might be the wrong question.
Okay.
There's a nuance here. So when I went to conferences as a merchant, going to be sold to was one of my primary objectives. And whenever I talk to other merchants, owners of companies, marketing executives, whoever's going to these events, you know, oftentimes their primary objective is to walk around the vendor hall and quickly research a whole bunch of different competitors, talk to them, ask questions, get educated, see what's new, see what's out there. I think the perspective that merchants don't want to be sold to is very incorrect. It's kind of more like dating. You know, somebody hits on you that you're not attracted to, that's gross. Somebody hits on you that's, wow, that's something, you know. Somebody hits on you, you want to hit on you, that's a compliment. It's just conditional. You don't want the slimy salespeople from the company you don't want to be working with talking to you. It's like, all right, I'm going to shut you down and move on, but I'm going to move on to the vendor I do want to talk to.
Understand. And I guess, I want to get confirmation on that, Adam. Are you seeing the same thing when your company, from people from your company, or are you in particular, if you go to a conference, do you go to it in the mood of, I need something? Like, I met you at Mage Titans, was it last year or year before? I don't even remember. But you were... You had a B2B project ahead of you, you know, so maybe that is the situation, right? You're in the mindset of, I'm trying to learn more, I'm trying to be sold to, I'm trying to figure out what's right for the business. Is that actually that mindset key to getting you to a conference because you have feel like you have something to gain from it?
Absolutely. You know, what David said is, you know, primarily true, at least in my case. You know, my objective 2 years ago, the first Mage Titans event in Austin was my first Magento event. You know, I'd used the platform, for probably a dozen projects before that, but it was my first, you know, exposure other than Twitter and forums to the Magento community. And, you know, it was right at the time when Magento 2 was coming out. So, you know, me representing a merchant, you know, my objective was to go in there, you know, eyes wide open and to absorb as much as I could. You know, it was to hear, you know, what's going good, what's going bad, what pitfalls, you know, could we be looking at with our project? You know, from a bigger standpoint, you know, I'm with David also in that I do like to, you know, walk around pretty much any type of event I go to, you know, talk to the, you know, the sponsors there or, you know, whoever is selling, just, you know, even if I'm not interested in their product, so to speak, it's good to know what's out there in case a certain problem ever comes up, you know, in our business, or, you know, just to kind of get, you know, familiar with, or maybe get the pulse of what's happening. So, you know, I do think it's good. I mean, you know, at the same token, some of the things can be a little tough. And sometimes, you know, like going to Imagine this year was my first Imagine. And what I wasn't expecting is the, you know, number of invites to parties and dinners and the number of follow-up emails and everything. Felt a little bit like a piece of meat after that.
That green badge, but, man. It's that green badge.
Yeah, man. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world either. You know, everybody's got a job to do. So, yeah, it's okay, though.
Okay. Yeah, but he puts on some pretty awesome dinners. So...
That's one of my favorite things about Imagine is that I can spend a week in Vegas and not buy a drink. I love that about the place. And I think this past year I was there from Saturday to Wednesday, I believe it was. And I didn't buy a drink until Wednesday. And I pretty much had one in my hand the entire time I was there. So if you're looking to have fun at a conference, then Imagine hands down is that conference for me. You may have a different experience. I'm one of the few people at Imagine that runs with the early crowd and the late crowd. So I'm burning that candle at both ends. I don't recommend you trying that. I may actually mix up my strategy this next year as well. And again, if you're watching this, we're streaming live right now on Facebook, on Periscope, Twitter. We've got it on Twitch, and obviously we are on YouTube as well. You can post on any of those, and we get I get access to your comments. If you have anything you want to add to this conversation, please, by all means, let us know. The YouTube comments are mostly talking about Magento One End of Life right now. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. Please stay tuned for that. Again, just feel free to tweet at ecommerceaholic, or you can post in the YouTube chat or comment on the Facebook live stream, and we will get your comments answered. So, you know, David posted some very interesting topics here around merchant involvement. And you know, I guess what type of involvement do we feel like is most beneficial? And I feel like maybe that that varies from conference to conference. So like a Mage Titans that is a developer focused event, what does merchant involvement look like? Like, hey, you know, do you really want merchants talking to developers? Are you looking for developers of merchant organizations? Kind of, what is your ideal merchant involvement for an event like Mage Titans?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, you're the Mage Titans guy. I'm sorry I didn't say your name. You know, I've been drinking, man. It's okay. This is for Brent. Yes.
Okay. I think that the ideal merchant would be somebody that is a little bit technical, or somebody that actually would like to know a little bit more about the underpinnings of Magento. They necessarily don't have to know about some of the technology, but I think it always helps for the merchant to understand a lot of what happens in the background of Magento. That would include the business side. It would include some of the technical side, the DevOps side. I mean, I think it's also important that a merchant understands, like, if they think, why would something that seemingly takes 5 minutes take an hour? Some of those questions that a merchant may have would be answered easily at Mage Titans. So I think that, I don't know if there's an ideal merchant, but any merchant that is curious about the platform they're running on is a perfect candidate for a conference, any conference that has to do with the platform that they're using. And it doesn't matter if it's Mage Titans or if it's Meet Magento, or if it's Magento Live or Imagine. I feel like that there is a good opportunity for every merchant to learn about the platform they're using. And I would say that the deeper you can go and the more knowledge you have about that platform, the more you are going to learn about what it can do. I saw that Max Bronco, who, by the way, hasn't submitted a paper to Mage Titans and 2 months ago complained that the form on Mage Titans was too long, just posted a comment about another competing platform. And that competing platform is, would you want to move your platform as a merchant? Would you want to move your platform to a SaaS-based platform? Okay, what now, as a merchant, I need to know, what am I going to give up? If you just go to a conference for that SaaS-based platform, you are never going to learn what you could be giving up by going with Magento. With Magento, you can do everything any other platform can do, but you can do even more. So as a merchant, if you don't attend some of these things, you are not going to know that as a merchant on a platform, and I can see, yes, okay, it's Shopify. As a merchant on Shopify, you do not have an opportunity to do as many things as you do on Magento. You can do literally anything you want, which includes decoupling the entire front end and pasting, or not pasting on, but bolting on a completely different front end. You can't do that with Shopify. So I think that just that curiosity and learning is the thing, TJ, that merchants are missing out on.
Yeah, I think that's good life advice for anything, right? Like, if you depend on something personally or for business, it is always a good idea to continuously be looking for opportunities to grow your knowledge around that particular item. And that's not necessarily e-commerce specific advice. That's just good advice in general. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I have a great real world example in that case. I depend on and need Scotch whiskey all the time. So what did I do? I decided that I needed to visit a number of distilleries in Scotland. That helped me learn the effort and the struggle that goes into that glass of whiskey. So as a merchant, I would like to have my clients come and visit and know what it takes to make this happen. So I think that as a Magento merchant, you want to know what is the underpinning of that.
So I wanted to touch on that a little bit as far as, you know, if you mentioned specifically, Brent, you want your merchants that you're working with to come and be more educated. So I wanted to maybe ask David there, if you're working with a merchant, what are your thoughts around bringing that merchant into the lion's den a little bit there and, you know, bringing him to a place where maybe your competitors are speaking or most certainly your competitors are lurking around? Any problems, I don't have a problem with it. I don't have the lack of security or confidence that some other people do in that if I'm not the right fit for a merchant, then they should be looking for someone that is a better fit. But, any thoughts or concerns with bringing merchants that you're working with to an environment like that?
No, not really. In fact, for us, a lot of the clients that we get are people who frequent events. I think that if we were a little bit less confident about what we can do for people and if we didn't deliver the results that we can, then maybe I'd worry about that a little bit more. But, you know, I get a lot out of going and looking at competitors and watching their presentations and talking to people and having a scotch or a beer afterwards and trading information and finding things out. And any merchant that goes to an event like that, that's one of our clients, what I'm really finding I'm doing typically is introducing them to all sorts of other people throughout the ecosystem that I know. Maybe they need a development agency and they don't have one, or they're looking to switch, and I introduce them to several people. I'm always making connections like that within the ecosystem. It's good for our merchants to be there, get more connected with others who can help them be successful in their business.
Absolutely. Adam, anything to add to that? Any thoughts? I mean, I know you work for a merchant exclusively, but and I guess that's another question as well, in that my headset has died here, so I'll deal with that while you're talking. But any concern with maybe, you know, sending developers, if a merchant's sending their developers, are they sending them to a job interview or something like that? Any concerns from a merchant's perspective with having their employees attend these conferences?
I did get a job offer at Imagine this year, so that's kind of funny. but, you know, in all seriousness, you know, if people are happy, you know, I'm happy, you know, at Great Lakes, you know, there shouldn't be, you know, concerns about that. I had something I wanted to touch on kind of about, you know, maybe I'm getting, you know, ahead of the conversation here. This is a pivot, but I had two things happen at two different Magento events that, you know, like I said, I went there to kind of the first Mage Titans, learn about the platform from a technical side, and to kind of get a feel for what was going on with Magento too. And then also, you know, Imagine this last year, two different things that happened. So first, 2 years ago, at Mage Titans, and this really wasn't a huge technical talk. It was Brendan Fulkowski talking about, and this was more user experience based. And what we ended up picking up from his talk, which was great, was about product management and, you know, PIM systems. So that was just a, you know, a little tidbit in, you know, one talk of a 2-day conference. And, you know, walking away from that event, you know, I kind of felt like, hey, you know, Magento 2 still a little rough around the edges, but, you know, we do have product management problems. It's not something I've heard a lot about, you know, outside of this event. So let me look into it. You know, walked away with a couple names of platforms to look at. And that's actually how we kicked off our e-commerce project internally. So, you know, that as a merchant was a huge benefit, you know, to us. And that kind of fundamentally changed, you know, our internal marketing, you know, and how we manage products. So the second thing that happened was at Imagine this past year, and Magento holds a merchant-to-merchant sort of a roundtable event where, you know, they get all of us green badge holders, you know, into a room. You know, we all sit at random tables, and then, you know, we go through a bunch of topics and discuss, you know, what's going on in our business, you know, what's working well for us from a platform. But a lot of it has more to do with, you know, from a business standpoint, you know, how are we handling certain things? You know, some of it was obviously platform-based, talking about PWA and integration and, you know, all the nitty-gritty stuff. But there was a huge amount of value in that for us too. So, you know, I know one of our topics is, you know, what events are, you know, maybe more, you know, developer driven or, you know, business driven. But, you know, just throwing out like little things like that have been really awesome, you know, as a merchant for us.
So let's, you had mentioned the room, you have the green badges, you know, we've talked about green badges. And for those that maybe don't know, at Imagine, if you are a merchant, if you're on a merchant ticket, you will have a green badge. And so you're easily identifiable as a merchant. And so my follow-up question, Adam, would be, what were your thoughts, you know, around your experience at a conference that large being identifiable as prey, right? Like, is that a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Is it, you know, did it present any problems, or do you see it as somehow beneficial to easily be identified as a merchant?
You know, I think it's okay. I mean, you know, yeah, you know, I think I referenced before, sometimes you feel like a little bit of a piece of meat, but you know, I'm kind of exaggerating, obviously. You know, it's a good icebreaker. Everybody wants to talk to you, you know, which isn't a bad thing. But no, I think it's okay. You know, I mean, when you go to an event like this, you know, I want to learn as much as I can. And, you know, a lot of the learning that happens doesn't necessarily come with somebody's elevator pitch. You know, it's talking to them about, you know, their platform, if it's something, a lot of what can be gained is just from, you know, talking to people, maybe not even their elevator pitch, but, you know, kind of like David mentioned that, you know, even if it's something I can't use now, maybe it's something I can use later. So, you know, I think it's a good thing.
Can I piggyback on that?
Absolutely.
All right. So I've been on both sides of the badge color. And one of the things that is interesting about that experience for me is that I'm actually colorblind. So the first time I went to Imagine on a green badge, I felt very welcomed into the community. Everybody was my friend. I had all sorts of wonderful people come up, talk to me for half an hour at a time. It was great. I got all my questions answered. It was a wonderful experience. And then I think we were at like the main Imagine party. And I was talking to this woman who'd been talking to me for like 30 minutes. And she made some comment about the badge. And that's what I was like, I'd said something about how everybody keeps talking to me. And she said, it's because of your badge. And I was like, what? I had no idea. So that's very interesting. It definitely means as you're going through the vendor hall, people are calling out at you and you know, purposefully maneuvering through the crowd to get in your way. So as you walk past, you know, they can say something to you. So you can definitely feel like a piece of meat. Now, the flip side of that experience is going to Imagine this last year and not having a green badge. That was very interesting as well. You definitely get invited to a lot fewer parties. Some people that you thought were your friends, maybe they weren't really your friends. It's an interesting experience. And I don't know. I will say, though, that I had the experience at other events of just going and networking and talking to people and engaging as a human to a human. And you get to know about them, and it encourages more conversation and more connection. The badge color system really drives a wedge between a lot of people, because it does make a lot of people with green badges not want to talk to you if you have one of the other color badges. It actually can be a barrier to the connections that might otherwise organically arise.
Yeah, I would agree with David there. I think that it's good to have that opening question asked. So when a merchant when a partner would say, so what do you do? And when I say I run a Magento agency, and then they turn around and walk away, I know that they're looking for Adam. But hey, you know, if that's the way they want to do it, or I'm not saying that happens, but that does happen.
It happens.
But at least you have that initial conversation, and at least you can, you can continue the conversation, or you might both find out you run marathons or whatever the case is. It gives that opportunity where you're inviting more communication rather than, as David said, driving a wedge in between the prospective clients or merchants and the technology partners, and even the Magento staff. So I know it was strange. They gave me a white badge with white text, and nobody would let me in, but maybe they just they gave that to me special.
Maybe you had it turned over backwards.
I've got a perspective on the merchant-to-merchant session as well that I'd like to piggyback on. And sure. So Adam's experience sounded like it was a good one. My experience with merchant-to-merchant sessions, it weren't really positive. What my take on it was is I got in a room with a whole bunch of merchants, and supposedly it was so we could talk merchant-to-merchant. But it was clearly a session organized by the Magento marketing team. So in some ways, it was just a way for them to capture all of the attention of the merchants for a little while. All of the questions that were brought up as topics by the moderator to discuss with your fellow merchants were clearly things that advanced the marketing objectives of the Magento organization. So it wasn't really like the hallway track where you're connecting with people one-on-one and you're really diving deep into their business. You're asking questions about this or that, talking about your business processes, how you do everything, how you glue it all together. It was more like Adam made a point. There was something about PWAs. So PWAs is a current hot topic, and there's some things going on there. So we're going to steer the conversation towards that. Well, PWAs might not be appropriate to all merchants, but that's something that, you know, is a hot topic. So they're pushing it for whatever marketing reason they're pushing it for. So I don't know. I'm actually not a fan of those sort of scripted merchant-to-merchant sessions at all.
Yeah, so but the idea is, in your opinion, I mean, make sure I clarify, the idea of it is good as long as it's not misused. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. And I would even go a little further to say that, you know, going back to the point earlier about merchants being fine being sold to, you know, if you go to a conference session that you thought was a talk about email marketing, but it's really a particular vendor telling you all about their solution, that feels slimy. That's not a session you want to go to. That's a session you're going to leave early from. But if you go to a session that's put on by a particular vendor and it really is about being successful at email marketing in general, and it's not just about their platform, that's great. You go to a merchant-to-merchant session that's really helpful and useful and beneficial, where whoever's facilitating it has thought about what merchants want to get out of it, or they've they're structuring it so merchants are going to get that out of it. That's different than a merchant-to-merchant session that's really a backdoor sales channel thing.
And speaking, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, David's got a great point. You know, there definitely was some of that. And, you know, when I say I got a lot out of it, it was less so for the, you know, there was definitely, you know, there was some things in there scripted, you know, but when it came to PWAs, you know, all of us at the table looked at each other like, yeah, nothing we want to handle right now. Cool, but let's talk about this instead. You know, the biggest takeaway from that was, you know, getting to know different merchants, you know, so that when we're having a beer or a cocktail later, you know, it's an icebreaker and we can jump back into that conversation. And also, you know, it's an email address or a business card where, you know, it's like, oh yeah, you ran into that. Here, let's email each other. And, you know, let's stay in communication to talk about it. You know, I would definitely like to see that format, but, you know, have it be seen as more organic with, you know, maybe the topics put together, you know, by the merchants in the room as opposed to, you know, starting with a marketing team. So I think that's a really fair assessment by David. But, you know, despite that, you know, I think there's still a lot to gain.
PG, I think that one thing that is often overlooked, and I think the merchant-to-merchant talks are important, but I think, like, One thing that we had a lot of success with last year in Mage Titans Austin is we did some workshops before it. And it's particularly the training part of it. We had mage training. So we had Derek Harlick from Mage Training there last year. And I think the room we rented was like 35 people or something. And I think something like 50 people showed up. So the interest from a specific workshop, I think, and Adam can correct me later if I'm wrong, but I think the interest on workshops is much greater than just a general chat about some topic that you have 30 minutes. If as a merchant, I'm going to invest, 3 hours into something where I'm really going to get a lot of value out of it, I feel like as a merchant, that's much more valuable than a merchant-to-merchant talk. I feel like the merchant-to-merchant talks a lot of times are for the marketing team to say, oh, we've got merchants on stage and they're talking about their successful solutions. And by the way, Jamerson did my website.
go ahead. You had something to add to that?
Sorry, TJ, I keep cutting you off.
No, you go, man. This is a conversation. You guys are the guests. We are here to hear your opinion. I'm just here to keep the conversation moving. So if the air gets a little dead, I'll jump in there. Feel free to just talk over me and give some value, man. Go ahead.
All right. So, going to Brent's point, as a merchant, workshops are what got me to Mage Titans last year, 100%. I did two workshops last year. One of them was on Akinyo, which is the product information management system, which was, what I started researching, after the first Mage Titans and started implementing at Great Lakes. So last year I went to it after I was already starting to use it, and it was more introductory, but it was great because I got to meet, people from that company. I got to talk to a couple other people who were using it. I got to learn that, if we do need support, we're starting off on the open source version, we're pretty small potatoes with it. But, I got to learn more about the commercial version. So, that was a big one. And then also last year, the other one that was huge for us was that Magento did a workshop on B2B. And that was right when B2B was coming out. And, us being, a B2B business, to me, that was huge. Actually being able to, get a deep dive of the system, from a technical standpoint, learning about how catalogs are managed, pricing, getting into some of the REST API stuff on how it's all managed, that to me was, worth its weight in gold. And guess what I did, a month after that, we, signed up for Magento Commerce, so we could, implement the B2B solution. So, they are awesome. And one other thing to touch on with Brent's point was, the merchant session that I attended was, more of a, it was kind of a closed door thing. So instead of having, maybe a panel on stage, it's something where, everybody's sitting in a room, discussing it. And that to me is a whole different ballgame.
We are about 45 minutes into this live stream. I wanted to change pace just a little bit. I think if anybody's got anything else to add to this topic, we can definitely do so. But I wanted to address a couple of comments we had here. We've got Quentin watching on Facebook. We don't get a ton of people watching on Facebook, Quentin. We've just started streaming over there. I appreciate you watching. Got some big time guests on the show because we do it right, man. We always do it right. We bring in that fire every Friday. So great conversation going on over on YouTube if you want to be a part of it, or keep watching on Facebook. That is good too. Megan Deppner here is letting me know that my glass is empty. Time to refill. I've been sitting here with an empty glass for a little while intentionally because Brent is giving
scotch?
Yes, actually I do. But Brent's giving me a hard time on Twitter. Like, does he actually drink it or is it just for show? And he's he's showing pictures of it slowly going down. So I wanted to leave it for a little while just to make sure he could get that screen capture of the empty glass before I poured just a little more of this bourbon. And I hate to do this live on camera because I know one day I'm going to mess up and I'm going to spill it all over my MacBook, and that is going to be documented for everyone to see. So I usually try to do it while someone else is talking. But I've got a new segment, and we got a couple of more topics I want to talk about. This one's short, so we're going to do it first. And this segment is What You Bitching About on Twitter, brought to you by MageMail. MageMail is the only email marketing platform built from the ground up to help you get more from your Magento store. So check them out, magemail.co. I appreciate them being the What You're Bitching About on Twitter sponsor. It helps pay for the alcohol and all the costs that go along with bringing you this live stream every week. And this week, we've actually got someone who was watching live. I don't know if he's still around, but this week's What You Bitching About on Twitter goes out to Max Pronko. Max, I want you to come on the live stream. I want you to come on next week if you can. And I want to actually talk about this subject. But Max was, Max doesn't seem to be real happy at this point with the Adobe acquisition of Magento. And it's understandable. It really is understandable. A lot of us are, you know, cautiously optimistic at this point. But Max made the comment, and I can't bring the comment in. I apologize for that. So I'll just read it. But there was a conversation around what Adobe's plans are for Magento. And his comment was that Magento will eventually be 100% in the cloud as a part of the Adobe suite. And I don't necessarily agree with that. What are your thoughts? Let's start with Brent. Kind of what are your thoughts around maybe what Adobe's plans are for Magento? Any speculation, any thoughts? And particularly, you know, as Magento being a cloud only, subscription only option as part of, you know, whether it's part of their experience manager or whatever. What are your thoughts around that, Brent?
I think at first that our biggest upside is going to be a lot of those Adobe products being integrated or allowing for easy integrations with those products. As far as going to 100% SaaS-based, I don't see it happening. I certainly don't see it happening within the next 5 years. I think that there's such a strong need for a PaaS-based platform that they're not going to go away from at least the PaaS and the on-prem version. A good example would be Jira. So Jira is available to install at your own office, or you can use it as a SaaS. So Magento is a great solution as a PaaS-based system, and I don't think that's going away anytime soon. And I guess as long as it takes Max Pronko to fill out the form for speaker applications, if it takes him that long, it won't matter anyways, because, you know, maybe it's 20 years from now that Magento decides to do something new on the platform.
All right. Let's give Max a hard day. I was trying not to laugh there. I had to mute for a second. We're going to give Max hell about not filling out the form after giving a little grief about the form's length. So, Max, again, if you want to come on and discuss it, we would love to have you on the live stream. That would be a fantastic conversation to have, because I think we all have some concerns and some worry. We're trying not to speculate, but anything to add to that, Adam? What are your thoughts around, if you were Adobe, what would you do with Magento?
Man, that's a good question. They're going after a lot of big brands. There are a lot of big brands that use Magento. I have no idea, you know, from where I'm sitting, how many of them are cloud versus, on-premise. We're on-premise. I think it would be kind of foolish to try to move everybody over to a cloud. I don't even know how realistic that would actually be. You know, the thing that makes, you know, Magento such a good platform is, you know, its flexibility, its you know, its ability to integrate with everything. I mean, you know, there'd be no way to do what even a company like Great Lakes is doing with the cloud. It just, it wouldn't happen. So I think it would probably be foolish. But at the same time, I would look forward to, you know, implementing some of the other Adobe products and services into Magento. So I think there could be some good stuff. I'm an eternal optimist in general. So, you know, I'm trying to stay positive about the whole thing for now.
TJ, David, let me just add one more. Ahead. Let me add one more thing, because I've been on a lot of these calls with, especially the Latin American region, with Adobe and Magento and what's going to happen there, and the worries that a lot of maybe merchants might have. So number one, let's look at how much Adobe paid for Magento. They didn't pay the $1.8 billion or whatever that number is. They didn't pay for that much money to kill Magento. If you think through this whole thing logically and you look at some competitors that are offering similar solutions, it would make sense that Adobe leaves in place the on-prem version, the cloud version, and even in the future, add a SaaS version as a competitor against some low-end platforms like Shopify. So if anything, we're going to get more choices. I don't think that Adobe is going to spend this much money to give us as developers and merchants less choices.
I think that's a great point, and I'll touch on that in a second, but I wanted to get David's opinion on the situation as well and kind of what Adobe's plans might be, or at least what you foresee they might be for Magento.
Well, I'll say that I don't really have a carefully thought out answer to that. Adobe obviously bought it because it's a good investment. Now, their particular strategy, I haven't dug through all the things they've done over the last 10 years and worked out some theory behind how this fits into all their other plans. I don't know. But I know it's an investment and it needs to make money. And they're a publicly traded company. And they are going to make money from it. There's not much of a question there. So I imagine that if I were the one buying Magento, I would be very interested in how do I monetize more of the platform? How do I get more money out of the people who aren't paying anything right now? But things like that could even just be an expansion of conferences or an expansion of training or an expansion of additional premium services that you have to pay a subscription for in order to plug into your free open source Magento store, or, you know, pulling more money out of the developer ecosystem. That how are we harvesting some money from development agencies? I mean, everything's on the table. Everything's on the table because there's been some major changes, and there probably won't be a lot of immediate major changes, but there's also probably some changes that are going to come 3 years from now that are already planned. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you in that when Magento paid all of that money, or when Adobe paid all that money for Magento, they understood that the community that Magento had built up was a big part of that value. And doing anything like getting rid of the open source version that will diminish that community is greatly going to hurt their investment. And as a publicly traded company, their goal is to increase the value of that investment. Investment, not to decrease it. My anticipation, this is what I expect to see. I expect to see Adobe try to lower the barrier to entry to Magento, to try to make it a little cheaper, a little easier to get on the Magento platform. I also expect them to get a lot more mature around extracting money from Magento at large, you know, including Community Edition. I would not be surprised to see them roll out a Community Edition and then start to charge for certain features that stack on top of that. So you can get the free version, and then you get, you know, instead of it's enterprise or nothing, like it's enterprise or it's the open source, I wouldn't be surprised for them to start, you know, content management system. Oh, you want the page builder? Sure, that's just a smaller monthly fee. You want the B2B modules? That's a smaller monthly fee, right? And so they compartmentalize a lot of this functionality and start to extract revenue from some of their open source customers that maybe need part but not all of enterprise functionality, or maybe even offering other services to them. So that's kind of, I think the pricing model will change. I think we'll see a lot more resources toward Magento, so we'll see an increased velocity, which we can, if somebody wants to come on and debate whether or not that's a good thing, there's some good in it, there's some bad in increased velocity. So that's kind of what, and we've got Max Pronko, and Max is commenting on, yes, colored badges is a bad thing. So Max is a little behind the live stream. I'm just going to go ahead and apologize again, Max. We did get on you a little bit there, and you haven't seen it yet. So you'll see it in just a few minutes. I'm sorry. Come on the stream, man. We got next Friday wide open. Come on, we'll talk about it. The next topic I wanted to touch on, again, we've been going for about an hour here, and so we need to get on this, at least touch on it, seeing how it's breaking news. Magento had a partner-only webinar on Tuesday where they announced the end of life of Magento 1, and they officially announced it on Thursday, which is going to be June 2020. That's almost 2 years. I mean, was that 20 something months? I can't do the math. I've had too much bourbon to be doing math at this point. I don't even know what day it is, much less I couldn't do the math if I wanted to. So 20,
it's
21,
Monday,
22.
PJ.
Yeah, it is. Exactly. So Monday. You've got less than 2 years, which is an adequate amount of time to do a Magento migration. But, you know, this is one of those tricky things. And I know Magento, I don't know if they necessarily did it intentionally or if it was just a consequence, but they threw out this, we're going to end support for Magento 1. And then everybody freaked out because it wasn't near long enough and some people were just launching their sites. And then they reeled it back and said, okay, someday we're going to end support for Magento 1. And that jump-started a lot of people on that migration path, which my thinking was it was more intentional than not in that jump-started the migration to Magento 2 and the adoption of Magento 2. And so people have known this is coming for quite some time now. And now you've got less than 2 years to make that migration. Brent, do you think from an agency perspective, I mean, it's good and it's bad in that, you know, it prompts the conversations around Magento 2, but it also prompts conversations around platform evaluation in general. So from an agency perspective, is having that hard deadline out there a good thing, or does it create more problems than it helps?
I think it's absolutely a good thing. I think from what clients are going to choose, it is a good opportunity to evaluate where they're at. I think that you're going to find that the merchants that are using Magento and all the features that they have in Magento, especially the ones that have a lot of customizations, those are the merchants that are certainly going to do the migration to Magento 2. I think that then it's up to both the Magento and an agency or some education to let merchants know why it is important to, or why it's easy to go to Magento 2. I will say that I've been writing some articles about how Magento 2 is easy, and kind of pushing back on the stereotype that Magento is super complicated. I think that the only reason that anybody would ever say Magento is complicated is because you can do anything you want with it. I know that I've demonstrated on stage with Derek Harlick that we can launch a Magento 2 store in an hour, and we can sell something live on stage. So if it's as simple as getting a logo on and changing some colors and then uploading some products and adding your payment gateway, it is no different than any other platform. If you take and look at it in that light of, okay, I want to sell something, I can't do all these things. So for example, if you're looking at Shopify, I can't do all these things. I can't add all this stuff in that I can do on Magento too. But if you're, say you're doing something as simple as selling t-shirts, we've demonstrated that in an hour we can launch and have this site up and live. So I guess going back to the idea of what should you evaluate, it is a lot around education, and there's plenty of time now to educate clients on why they should go from Magento 1 to Magento 2.
It's a great point. And I've actually recommended to some merchants that they evaluate and use a SaaS platform because of some similar reasons to what you mentioned, in that it limits their stupid decisions to their budget. Right? Like you get this wild, crazy idea. You've been in business 30 years and you get this wild idea on a Wednesday that you have to have. You cannot stay in business another day if you don't have this crazy idea you haven't had for the last 30 years. And it's just, you know, it's a bad idea, but sometimes it's hard to educate merchants. And the easy education is that's not possible. Right. So, yeah, it's definitely, that is one of the problems in Magento, is the perception of complexity, because it can be, if you're trying to do something complex, there's complexity in it. Like it's literally in the request. Right. Whereas maybe the answer no, or man, that's really, really impossible or very difficult. Or even if it's like someone told me one time, though, with a SaaS platform, is you can do just about anything you want to do with a SaaS platform, but you're probably going to have to do some messed up stuff to accomplish it. So, you know, just having it be that kind of crazy, chaotic, you know, over the top implementation limits your options and keeps you from doing things that you probably shouldn't be doing. So anything to add to that, David? Any thoughts around, I've forgot, well, like, what are we actually even talking about at this point? We've got off onto complexity of Magento.
I think we're talking about Magento 2 end of, or Magento 1 end of life. Magento 2 end of life is going to be 6 months later, right? So,
actually, Magento 2,
everything to the cloud, right?
Magento 2 end of life actually happens before Magento 1 end of life. 2.0 ends before 1 point whatever does. But we won't get into that. That's a different conversation. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
So Magento 1 end of life was basically announced back in 2015, I think, at Imagine, and it was going to be 3 years after Magento 2 launched. And that's 2 months from now. And then they changed things, and now they're changing things again. And the ultimate answer here is that things will change again if they choose to change things again, because there's some business reason for it. So I like having a date so we can talk about something and we know when it's going to be, but it's changed a couple times now. I'd say maybe 50-50, this is actually going to be the end of life, or it'll change again. So it's 2 years from now. I'm really not too worried about it. Frankly, the businesses that haven't already realized that there's some value in Magento 2, and maybe they should be putting their investments in the current iteration of the platform, if they're going to lag and be caught at the end of that with non-PCI compliant platforms or whatever, I kind of don't care at this point. A lot of the mainstream merchants that are doing great business on Magento have already moved. Magento 2 is stable. It's awesome. I'd rather work with that than Magento 1 any day at this point. So I don't know. Does it matter?
I don't know. What are your thoughts, Adam? I think we lost Adam. Look at that. Did you see? I'm going to put it back on his face. Uh-oh. He looks like
Picasso.
Yes, exactly what I was going to say. He looks
like a Monet.
It is a little softer than a Picasso there. So we have apparently... We have lost Adam.
I think it's already snowing in Buffalo. That's what it is. He's probably got Hughes internet, and it's snowing so hard that it can't get through his dish.
My guess is they're playing a Friday night game in Buffalo, and he probably had to go check that out. Get his tickets ordered, right?
I'm back, baby. I'm back.
There he is. There
Woo!
He is.
Yeah.
We just wanted to get your opinion on the Magento 1 end of life. I know you've already moved on or in the process of launching a Magento 2 version of your website. But what are your thoughts around the announced deadline? Is it better to have that deadline out there so everybody knows, or the uncertainty is usually more problematic for folks? But what are your thoughts around the official announcement?
Nothing lasts forever, especially in the tech world. E-commerce advances so quick. M1 was great. Of course, it had its issues. Eventually you got to move on. I think having a deadline gives people something to work towards. I think it's a pretty fair timeline. I think it's to be expected.
Yeah,
I think Adam mentioned he was still using Windows NT 3.5.1. So I guess that seems pretty common.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's the most stable platform I've ever used.
Windows 2000 server. That's what we're live streaming off of now, right? All right. So I think we've covered all of the topics. I appreciate everyone watching again. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Hit a thumbs up on the video. That always helps out as well. I don't have a live stream plan for next week, but we're going to do one. So if you've got a topic you want to talk about, you got someone you want to see on the live stream, then suggest, let me know. Hit me up on Twitter at eCommerceaholic. Should be on my name card here at eCommerceaholic. It's hard to spell. It's hard to say, but, we're not good at social media, so what do we know? So go ahead. Again, I wanted to thank David, Brent, and Adam for being on the stream this week and providing some great value and interesting conversation. That's what we're trying to do with these streams from here on. We're not going to do this big polished interview process. We're going to just have a conversation, and we're going to talk about whatever's happening in the Magento community. And you guys are a big part of that. So showing up, watching live, participating in these conversations, helping to shape them, and helping us figure out what you want us to talk about is all definitely welcomed feedback. Again, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in the next video. See, I don't even have my end card. I normally have an end card here. We're changing a bunch of things on the stream. Every week we change stuff. Every week we break something. That's exactly how that goes. I can't even hit the end card. So you're just going to have to stare at me while the stream stops. And we will see you guys next week.
Thank you, TJ.
Thanks, dude.
Cheers.